Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Marty Hawk, and she checks in from a cloudy, dreary Ellettsville, but it's cloudy and dreary everywhere, Marty, so you're not alone in the fight today. Good afternoon. How are you?
I am fine, and I'll tell you, the county council's ready for a happy hour because we're doing our happy dance. We finally got through the big event of the entire year the county council's required to do, and that's the date that we adopt the budget and the tax levy. Yes, the taxes that you're going to pay to help pay for this budget. And there's like parts of the budget and the adopted part for the there's different kinds of funds, and some is home rule funds and some is not home rule funds, but the total of part of it is $64 million, about $64.5 million.
Well, that's a lot of money.
And That's a dollar or two. And the tax levy, though, for that is $32 million, about $32.5 million. So that doesn't, of course, that doesn't include the highway tax or the highway special or local road and street, because that's covered with gas taxes. And it also does not include, under that tax levy part, it doesn't include that local income tax that about $2 million that has to do with our county juvenile services. It also, in this list that doesn't have a separate tax tied to it, of a property tax, is the Convention and Visitors Bureau of over $2 million. Now, the reason why those things are important is because then you get down here to the home rule funds, and there's a whole lot of different things covered under that, and that totals $15.3 million about. Now, with all of that, we might pass a budget for that, but we don't know what, for sure, the revenue is going to be. So, just as a caveat for all those people who think they have a budget, oh, well, we can go spend that money. It will be tied to what kind of money it comes in that really will cover it, because at this point there's so many things that we really don't know that we just have to make sort of a guess and make sure people understand what's your revenue coming in, because you can't spend more than it's coming in. And I want to make sure that we're clear on that, about that Convention and Visitors Bureau dollar. That's over $2 million. Will indeed the innkeeper's tax that covers that, will that be enough to cover that, or are they going to have to go in and adjust? So just that big caveat, if you don't have guaranteed dollars coming in to cover your budget, please don't go out and spend it as though it's actually there. It's just like when you plan at home what you plan to spend your money on in this coming year, you might plan it, but you have to watch your checkbook to see if you actually have the money to write that check. So, but when you look at all of these different funds, that was a lot of work. This county council has really tried to allocate these funds out in best possible ways and to put back a substantial amount of money back into that savings account to get us through 2022. It was difficult because it's hard to approve these higher numbers in taxes and know that we've got money to put back in a savings. But we cannot bond to pay for payroll, so we have to make sure we've got money to keep county government operating.
That has to be the first step, and then you work your way back from there, correct?
Right, absolutely. You look at what kind of money you have and what you think it's going to take to get through the next 3 years, because you never do it with just 1 year at a time. You have to look out over the future and make estimates, and that's really pretty hard to do in this day and age. It's hard to determine where the estimates actually are going to be. But the amazing thing, you know, I've talked with you about the Monroe Fire District and saying it just didn't seem to be anyone coming out to speak to it like we thought there would be and so forth. And how many times I said, look, you know, all we can do is we put it in the paper, we put it on Facebook, we have these special meetings, we, you know, put it here on the radio, and still didn't seem to be a lot of interest, anybody coming forward to say anything. Well, finally, last night, somebody from the city, Steve Volin, came to say, look, I think the city could do this better job or for less money or something of the sort. But what it did do for when he questioned it, and I was happy really to hear his questions because Chief Dillard was there in the meeting and was able to really respond with so much knowledge about how these dollars were going to be spent and why it had to be different than what the city's is, because the city doesn't include all of the operational cost of like human resource and for their accounting and stuff the other departments of the city will do for the fire department. This fire department has to do all of that themselves and plus try to make sure that the buildings are ready and the equipment's ready and so forth. So it was pretty lengthy during that discussion, but I think it was important to be had. And so I hope that the public will understand when they get that tax bill. We've been trying to make it clear, so hopefully, well, you know, no matter what we do, when they get it, they're going to say what happened.
You've warned them and warned them and warned them and warned them. Now, this is for every year moving forward, and then it shrinks, then it rises, then it shrinks, then it rises. At some point, does this sunset, Marty, or is this going to be on your tax bill from here forward, just so people aren't confused?
Right. This is a tax. There used to be a tax there for the Perry Clear Creek Fire Department, and if you were in Perry or Clear Creek, you had this tax on your tax bill. Now it's for more townships, and it's combined so that you have the Monroe Fire District. And so once more dollars start coming in from the income tax, because that's always a delayed time frame for that to come in, then perhaps that tax levy and rate will not have to be as high for that fire district. But it will. It is in place for as long as they have a fire district.
Yeah. So this isn't This isn't a 1 year bump or a 2 year bump. This is the new bump.
Right. And doesn't mean it won't adjust up and down as just as any budgets would. But it is the thought, as presented by Chief Dillard, that in year two or three, I forget which year it is, that they'll see it starting to come down as that income tax comes in and helps replace some of these tax dollars. And, of course, what they were going to do was borrow to operate the first 6 months because they really don't have this money coming in until June. So they were going to borrow to try to...
Well, they don't have a choice there, right? Because you can't go 6 months without having any revenue.
Right. But what's going to be helpful...
But that's weird, though, because, Marty, we talk about the county council can't bond for everything for personnel expenses, but the fire district can. So that's why people could be confused.
Right, but it's not like as if you can draw that out forever because you have to keep, you know, paying back that debt.
Absolutely.
So, and we know that it's going to be very helpful in that big grant that they got. Now, it's a reimbursement grant, but they have to have dollars to go ahead and pay for that payroll, and then that grant will come in later and help reimburse them for the payroll that they're making for what I think it was like 14 firefighters. So I mean, that was an important part of our budgeting process this year. I thought it was extremely important, and it was disconcerting to see how much that tax was going to go up, but nevertheless, we certainly cannot do without fire protection. So there was that, and of course the solid waste district that we also voted on, and then all of these other tax rates. But we're also required to do once a year a salary ordinance that says what the salary is going to be of all the employees and officers and deputies and so forth. The county and the so it sets how much each employee will receive in a salary, and when it is that they'll be paid, and then we're required by law as a county council to adopt the salary ordinance. And part of what was in here was this statement that says all payments made pursuant to this ordinance, in other words, if you get a paycheck, it's pursuant to this ordinance, is contingent upon the strict compliance with and adherence to the Monroe County Personnel Policy Handbook. Well, we've been doing that since 2002, I believe it was.
That's a long time.
And we haven't really studied that and looked at it. Like, what does this really mean?
The devil's always in the details, isn't it, Marty?
Right. It's just been in there for so long. We really hadn't paid that much attention to it. Well, then we were told that the county commissioners intended to adopt an add-on to the personnel policy, a requirement that the county elected officials as well as their department would have to take this special training that it, I'll just read this sentence to you. It says, in an attempt to ensure the same message and quality of training, all elected officials and full-time employees will be required, not expected or would like to be, it says will
required.
Be required to participate in a training approved by the Board of Commissioners or the prosecutors or the Board of Judges. Well, the Board of Judges already said no thank you, and I believe so did the prosecutor, but the Board of Commissioners, saying everybody else, would have to participate, including the elect officials, in this training. Well, then you start to think about it, and generally you don't have one group of elect officials telling another group of elect officials what kind of training they have to have. You could say it's
why often. Did they want you to put that in there, you being the county council?
Well, you know, that's the reason why I questioned. I thought, well, now, how exactly will this work? And who's going to be the payroll police to see who took this training and who didn't? And, of course, you cannot withhold salary if
the
they
payroll
actually
work. Police.
You're required to pay them.
Right.
And so I think there's things that we haven't really thought out. What does this actually mean? It can look good on it in a paragraph, you know, down here, but what steps do we take? How does this work together? So we put in place in the salary ordinance, because we had no time really to try to delve into this, that it would be this personnel policy as it was as of yesterday, and that would have been before any other changes in the future. And actually, it should always be that way, because why should the county council sign off on something that might or might not happen 6 months from now or a year from now that we really don't, because we don't have a vote on the personnel policy. County council doesn't have a vote on that. So why then would we sign off on this when we don't even know what it's
weird.
Going to be?
Yeah, that's weird. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It doesn't, and more than that, I just don't know how it works. It's like, you know, if you're an elected official.
Who determines training is mandatory, like you were talking about there? What makes it mandatory or not mandatory, and what level of training? It just seems like there's a hornet's nest of opportunities here that again, I'm not following either.
It just made you scratch your head and question, okay, it's $300,000+ to pay for the training, and it's more than 15 hours for each employee. Well, what if you're an elected official over at a department and your employees are already worked, you've got so much work and you have a deadline to meet and you have work to get done, and do you really have this many extra hours for your employees, or is it the kind of training you would choose for your employees? And remember, these separate elected officials, they hire and if necessary, dismiss their own employees. Nobody tells them who they have to hire. If you're the county auditor, you hire your own personnel, and nobody tells them who they have to hire, and they're in charge of all
that. Well, that's
that
kind of the point. Then they shouldn't be. Then why are we telling them who to train and how to train them? I don't. That's,
right. So anyway, at least those are questions that people have asked, and exactly how will it work, and is this just something, a feel-good message in the list, or is this actually something the county council saying your salary is tied to you doing this? And if so, who's going to say you're not going to get paid? I mean, I don't understand how it would work at all. So I think there's a more discussion to be had on that to see exactly what the steps are to enforce whatever it is that they're trying to enforce, or did they really intend it to sound that way and to be that way? So anyway, so that's the step we took last night. We just said we put it would be only as of yesterday, which was October 20th. And so anything in the future is not included in the salary ordinance until such time. If somebody would bring something back to us that they would agree to, then they could change that just like we've changed anything else. But clearly for the elected officials, and that's the reason why that was being discussed more than the employees, is the elected officials, you can't cut their salary anyway. So, you know, because we're required, it's set by the year. You know, people don't even have to show up for work. They can show up for a few hours a week or a few hours a month. You cannot force anything on to the elected official. I mean, that's just the way it works. But so this really would affect our employees more than that. And so it's, there's just a lot of questions there. So I think there's no need to hurry up and do it.
Yeah, make sure you get to find out all the devils and all those details and see what's going on.
Well, and you just don't mess with someone's payroll. You know, at the end of the day, when it's the day that you're supposed to get your paycheck, I bet you're counting on it.
And someone has to be, who's going to be the bad guy? And I don't know if I want to be that bad guy, so I can see why.
Right,
why would we want to be
tie that horse to our wagon? No, I don't think so. So anyway, we'll work it out. And it's funny I shouldn't even say funny. It's really sad that we as a county council hadn't been checking into this more well in advance. What does this actually mean when we include this in salary ordinance? Because when you look at the personnel policy, all through there it says, and this will be included in the salary ordinance. Well, we don't get to vote on the personnel policy, and so those folks cannot force us to put it into the salary ordinance. It's only the county council that has the authority, given, you know, that's part of our duty, statutory duty, is to adopt the salary ordinance. And nobody, no other elected official can tell us what has to go in there. So all of us will work together. We'll work through this. We really hit a bump in the road on this, and we worked it out, and it went smooth as silk.
Well, good.
We changed the date, and so we didn't have to have a slowdown in the movement forward of getting our budgets adopted, salary ordinance done, and county council got their work done and got it done timely, and people were getting along and compromising. I did some compromising, believe me, more than what I would have normally have done. Others did too, and we just came together and made something work. And so
that's how government should work.
Yes, I really think it is the way that we work together, and I was really happy to see our council president, Eric Sumor, led the way and made sure we were trying to stay on track and make sure that we got it done on time. And now it's up to the county auditor to take all those numbers, and between now and Tuesday, she has to get it all entered at the state, and all that has to happen. So let's hope there's no problems with Gateway getting that entered, because once you've missed that deadline, then none of this will mean anything. We'll go back to what it was. from the year before.
Yeah, I'm sure
that will happen. I'm sure that will happen. They're all working well together. And so.
And Marty, now that the budget's done, the county council just puts their feet up for the rest of the year, right? Next big project is organizing the Christmas party, right?
No, there's another meeting next Tuesday. And, of course, there's going to be continued back and forth about what we're going to do about this training. In the meantime, the treasurer's office is in the process of collecting taxes before the deadline for taxes. So, and once again, the courthouse is not open yet, so you can do it in the form of they're going to have a drop box at the north side of the courthouse for people to put their taxes in there and put in an envelope. If you want a receipt, you have to put in a self-addressed envelope that's already got a stamp on it to be sent back to you. And you can do that, or you can do an in-person if you want, but has to be, once again, you call in, you make the appointment, and somebody will meet you downstairs, I believe, as they've done before, and to be able to take your taxes there.
There you go. So don't forget. We'll remind you when we get a little bit closer. But, well, I know the election's on a lot of people's mind. Karen Wheeler was our guest yesterday. Over 1,000 people here the last few days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Each day.
Yeah, each day, which is fantastic. So great job to those folks putting on those. That's all day, every day, Marty, with those kind of numbers. So we know it's not we'd love to have two other sites where you could do all this, but that's not the case. So we have to be patient, 401 West 7th Street, and we will add Saturday voting today, this Saturday and Halloween Saturday. And can you believe, in less than 2 weeks, the election will be here.
Oh, I know, and a whole lot of people be glad when this is over. As a reminder, and Karen probably spoke with you about this, but let's say if you ask for an absentee ballot and you determine that you really wanted to vote on Election Day, don't just show up on that Election Day or even early voting without bringing that ballot with you. Now, there's a spot there where the early voting is taking place that you can drop your ballot off. There's special. You don't have to wait until they go online.
You don't have to wait online. That's right.
Right, and you can hand it to them, that you still have to have ID and prove who you are, so forth. But if you decide you don't want to do any of that and you really just want to do it on Election Day itself, you have to take that ballot with you so that they can destroy that and you can do another one. You can do the same thing if you do early voting and you don't want to put it in that. Maybe you marked it in such a way you've determined you don't. That's not what you want. Don't destroy it. You take it with you, and they will destroy it so that you can vote.
It has to be officially destroyed.
Don't show up and wait in line all that time and then find out, oh, you didn't bring what you needed.
No, you don't want to do that, because we know the lines are taking about 90 minutes, whether rain, shine, sunshine, or anything. Just be patient, and we'll add Saturday this week and next week, and obviously have Monday, November 2nd, for some early voting as well. But we all know on Tuesday, the November 3rd, Election Day, you must vote at your precinct from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. There are no other exceptions to that rule. Come back and join us next Wednesday, shall we? We'll get together.
Will.
It's the costume party, so make sure you're dressed up. I want you to come as a plumber. How about that?
Oh, I could do that. And plumbers, I would not mind being a plumber right now and get that kind of salary. They're really raking in the dough.
That's a nasty all-day job, though, Marty, and we thank all of them.
Oh, I know. I just changed my mind. I want to do that.
All right, well, don't change your mind. Join us next Wednesday, please.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Marty Hawk, the county councilwoman, checks in with us every Wednesday just after 4:10.